Today I'm talking about IRS installment agreements. I'm going to go over what you need to know about installment agreements in general at a high level. I'm going to go over all the basics. I'm going to go over how to get an installment agreement with the IRS, practically speaking. And then at the end of this video, I'm going to tell you how a special kind of installment agreement can be an incredibly useful tool to get your IRS debt forgiven. Yes, not just paid off, but actually forgiven. And this sometimes comes as a surprise to clients. In fact, I've noticed when I start talking to clients about installment agreements, sometimes they just don't want to hear it, right? They snap back, "Logan, installment agreements? Why? I could get one of those myself. I want to talk about getting an offer in compromise, a settlement with the government to pay them less than what I owe." And don't get me wrong. Sometimes an offer in compromise is clearly the best path forward, but not always. But you know, I admit it. Installment agreements are sometimes seen as the Tito of the tax relief trio, with maybe the offer and compromise being like the superstar, like Michael Jackson, you know, and currently not collectible, maybe being like Janet or someone like that. But I want to change that impression. Installment agreements can be a powerful tool when it comes to dealing with the IRS, as long as you are the one setting the terms and not the IRS, based on a properly done analysis of your financial situation reported on Form 433F. But I'm getting ahead of myself here. What you need to understand is that there are installment agreement arrangements other than the ones the IRS wants to push you into. And I'm going to cover what those are in this video. But before we get into all that strategy, the difference between full payment installment agreements, the kind the IRS wants you in, and partial payment installment agreements that take a little more work to get into, before we get into all that, we need to discuss some basics here that everybody needs to know about IRS installment agreements. But before we do that, let me introduce myself. If you're new to my channel, my name is Logan Alec. I'm a CPA. I own Choice Tax Relief, where I and my tax professionals help everyday Americans deal with their tax debt with the IRS, lower their tax debt with the IRS, and of course with state governments as well. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, including penalties and interest, you can book a free consultation with us by calling 866-8000-TAX. That's 866-8000-829, or by emailing a brief description of your tax situation to taxrelief@loganalec.com. All right, with that out of the way, let's talk about 11 installment agreement basics that you must know. And then we'll talk about the nitty-gritty of how to actually get an IRS installment agreement, as well as how to use installment agreements as a form of tax relief and forgiveness. But here are 11 basic facts about IRS installment agreements, starting with number one. Installment agreements pause collection activities. While the IRS is considering a bona fide, processable installment agreement request, okay, during that period, as well as throughout the duration of an installment agreement, assuming it is accepted and the taxpayer does not default on it, the IRS pauses collection activity on that taxpayer for the tax years covered by the installment agreement. So you won't have your wages garnished, you won't have your bank account levied during this time period. Now, I must mention that the IRS has an entire section of the Internal Revenue Manual devoted to installment agreement requests made to delay collection action, because they don't just want people to make requests for installment agreements that aren't in good faith, meaning, you know, the taxpayer has no intention to actually make payments under installment agreement or an installment agreement, and the only reason they're requesting an installment agreement is to pause collection activity while the IRS is considering the installment agreement. And if an installment agreement request is flagged as being made simply to delay collection action, that request will in fact not delay collection action. Basically, how you find yourself in this unfortunate situation is by doing things like submitting an installment agreement request with no economic reality, such as proposing a ridiculously small monthly payment, submitting an installment agreement request that ignores directions specifically provided by the IRS to the taxpayer, possibly by submitting an installment agreement after defaulting on one recently, things like that, right? But if you're doing your best to play by the rules and you are truly requesting a reasonable installment agreement that you would intend to pay if the agreement were to be accepted, the IRS will probably put your installment agreement request in pending status, meaning that collection activity is paused while the IRS is considering your installment agreement, as well as throughout the duration of the installment agreement, assuming it is accepted and you do not default. So this is a good place to be, right? If the IRS is on your back and about to take collection action against you. Basic fact number two about IRS installment agreements. A notice of federal tax lien may still be filed on a taxpayer while they are in an installment agreement. I've gone more in depth on this in other videos, but basically, a notice of federal tax lien is a public filing by the IRS in state or county records that inform the public that the taxpayer owes the United States money, and if they were to, say, sell their house, the United States would get its share first. The IRS does not consider the filing of a notice of federal tax lien to be a collection activity, so it may still do so even if you have an installment agreement with them. Also, any notice of federal tax lien currently on file when the installment agreement was originated will remain on file. Now, you can get the lien withdrawn using Form 12277 if you owe $25,000 or less to the government, or you can get your balance to $25,000 or less, and if you have an installment agreement with the IRS on which you make payments via direct debit, which is one of the payment methods allowed for IRS installment agreements. If you have such an arrangement and you owe such a balance, like I said, you can typically file Form 12277 to get the IRS to withdraw the notice of federal tax lien after you've made three consecutive direct debit payments per the installment agreement. Basic fact number three, you generally need to have filed all required tax returns with the IRS to be considered for an installment agreement. According to the IRS's 2006 Policy Statement 5-133, filing the last 6 years' worth of tax returns is generally sufficient to be considered in compliance for most tax resolution purposes. That said, you may not actually need to file all 6 years, right? If you didn't have a filing requirement, or you know, if the IRS has prepared a substitute for return that you are okay with, be sure to check out my video on back taxes for more information on strategies to employ when determining which historical tax returns you should prepare and which ones you shouldn't. Link to that video is at the top of the screen and in the description below. Installment agreement basics number four, you generally need to have paid in your current tax obligations, as meaning the current year, and stay current in order to get an installment agreement accepted. This generally means making sure that if you're an employee, that your tax withholdings are adequate. If you're an independent contractor, make sure you're making your required estimated tax payments timely, right, throughout the duration of the installment agreement, else it may default. Installment agreement basic number five, your federal tax refunds will be offset during the installment agreement. So don't expect to receive any federal tax refund on a tax return you file while you're in an installment agreement with the IRS to actually hit your bank account, since the IRS will likely apply it to your balance with them. Number six, penalties and interest continue to accrue on debt being paid off through an installment agreement. While installment agreement staves off IRS collection activity, it does not prevent penalties and interest from accruing on a taxpayer's account. The typical penalties and interest taxpayers face are shown in the table you can see on screen here. I've gone more in depth on IRS penalties in other videos, so I'm not going to labor this point here. Number seven, there is a user fee for setting up installment agreements with the IRS. In some cases, such as qualifying as a low-income taxpayer, the IRS will waive or reimburse the user fee associated with setting up an installment agreement, but most taxpayers will be on the hook for these. Low-income qualification for installment agreement purposes is generally achieved by having an adjusted gross income for the most recent tax year at or below 250% of the federal poverty guidelines. On screen here, you can see a table that shows the IRS's current installment agreement user fee rates. If you have any questions about these, be sure to ask them in the comments. I might do a video specifically on IRS installment agreement user fees if there is demand for that. IRS installment agreement fact number eight, an installment agreement is not guaranteed for everybody. Now, while most taxpayers qualify for at least some kind of installment agreement with the IRS, not all taxpayers are guaranteed one. The IRS does from time to time reject installment agreements, typically because they think you're not offering to pay enough. That said, if you owe $10,000 or less in taxes alone to the IRS, that does not include penalties and interest, you may be guaranteed an installment agreement if you request one. I'll talk a little bit more about that later in this video. And if you owe $50,000 or less in taxes and assess penalties and interest to the IRS, you may qualify for a streamlined installment agreement. I'll talk about both guaranteed and streamlined installment agreements in a bit more detail later in this video. Number nine, if your installment agreement is rejected, you can appeal that decision. If the IRS, for whatever reason, does not accept your installment agreement, you do have the right to appeal their decision, just as you do for most IRS collection activity decisions. I plan on creating a separate video on appealing installment agreement rejections, but suffice it to say that as long as you file your appeal within 30 days of the rejection, the IRS still can't take your stuff right then and there. Generally, you would use Form 9423, Collection Appeal Request, to appeal an IRS installment agreement request rejection. Number 10, the IRS will have more time to collect your debt as a result of you requesting an installment agreement. The IRS has a 10-year statute of limitations on collecting tax debt. This means from the date the IRS assesses a tax liability, it only has 10 years to collect it from the taxpayer, else it's essentially written off. The last date the IRS has to collect a tax liability from a taxpayer for a particular debt is called the collection statute expiration date, or CSED, for that debt. However, there are certain events called tolling events that can extend the statute limitations beyond 10 years, and an installment agreement is the basis for some of these events. Here's how requesting an installment agreement can toll the statute of limitations. The statute is tolled while the installment agreement is pending, which, like I mentioned previously, requires a taxpayer making a satisfactory request with the IRS to enter into an installment agreement. The statute is tolled for 30 days after the rejection or termination of an installment agreement, and the statute is tolled for the period that appeals is considering the rejection or termination of an installment agreement. Note that sometimes, as a condition of entering into a partial payment installment agreement that I will discuss later in this video, the IRS may require a taxpayer, as a condition of that, to agree to extending the CSED for the taxpayer's liability or liabilities. Number 11, you have options when it comes to making your installment agreement payments. The table you can see on screen here shows you the six payment options taxpayers have when it comes to making their payments on IRS installment agreements. All right, now that we've covered some basics, let's talk about how you can request an installment agreement with the IRS. All taxpayers have the right to request installment agreements. And just like with many things pertaining to taxes, you can certainly do it yourself. And if your situation is simple enough, and if you're okay with paying the IRS your full balance, there's really no reason not to do it yourself. If you can figure it out yourself, I'm going to tell you how right now. But if you want a professional in your corner to possibly reduce your payments under an installment agreement and figure out if perhaps another resolution option is best for you, you can book a free consultation with my firm by calling 866-8000-TAX. That's 866-8000-829. Or by emailing a brief description of your situation to taxrelief@loganallen.com. So how do you request an installment agreement with the IRS? Though taxpayers may propose to the IRS to enter into an installment agreement by a variety of means, including letters, phone calls, voicemails, emails, and other methods that the IRS is supposed to respond to, not every request to enter into an installment agreement will be considered processable. That is a legitimate request by the IRS. In order for an installment agreement request to be considered processable, put into pending status, the taxpayer's request must identify the taxpayer, usually by including their name and their social security number. It must also identify the tax liability to be covered by the installment agreement, and it must propose a monthly or other periodic payment of a specific amount. In addition, the taxpayer must be in compliance with all filing requirements, as I mentioned previously. For these purposes, like I said previously, the IRS generally considers a taxpayer in compliance if they have filed the last 6 years of tax returns to the extent required. If a taxpayer does not meet these requirements and or they have not included all the required information in their installment agreement request, the IRS will typically contact the taxpayer to tell them what they can do to perfect their installment agreement request. Now, there are standardized ways of requesting installment agreements from the IRS, and these standardized ways are what I would recommend you utilize. You can do it online if your situation qualifies, and I'll talk more about that in a second. Or you can fill out Form 9465 and submit it to the IRS. Sometimes you're just able to give them the information from that form over the phone. You can call the number on your notice if you received one, or 1-800-829-1040 if you're able to get through. You can also technically arrange an installment agreement in person at a local IRS office, but most people prefer to not do that. So let's talk about the online option. How do you submit an installment agreement request online? So the IRS actually spells it out on their website. Keep in mind, these are for full payment installment agreements where by the end of the installment agreement, you will have ended up paying the entire balance that you owe the IRS. The IRS wants you to sign up for these. I covered this in my recent video on tax relief basics, but basically a full payment installment agreement is one in which you pay off your entire tax debt to the IRS in monthly installments over a time span of typically up to 6 years. This is a good deal for the IRS. Under a full payment installment agreement, the taxpayer has eventually paid off the entire balance, including penalties and interest, to the IRS while penalties and interest continue to accrue during the installment agreement. In fact, if you Google "what if I can't pay my taxes," the first organic search result, meaning the first search result that is not an ad, that comes up for that search is an article from IRS.gov that says, "What if I can't pay my taxes?" Don't panic. You may qualify for a self-service online payment plan, including an installment agreement that allows you to pay off an outstanding balance over time. Once your online application is complete, you'll receive immediate notification of whether your payment plan has been approved without having to call or write to the IRS. Then it spells out for you the two kinds of payment plans you can easily set up online. There's a short-term payment plan. This is for taxpayers who owe the IRS less than $100,000 and can pay the IRS off within 120 days. These are not technically speaking installment agreements, because paying off your balance within one of these short-term plans is not required to be done in installments. And then there is the a long-term payment plan, which is an installment agreement. If you owe less than $50,000 to the IRS, and that figure would include your entire balance of the IRS, including taxes, penalties, and interest, whole kit and caboodle, you can set up a longer-term payment plan with the IRS online. This is a streamlined installment agreement. So obviously, the IRS wants folks to be able to set up these installment agreements very easily online. And if you qualify, and if you're willing to pay the IRS the full amount of taxes, penalties, and interest you owe the IRS, you can set up one of these payment plans online by going to irs.gov/OPA and then clicking Apply Revise as Individual. You will need an IRS account. If you do not have a current IRS account, you will need an ID.me account that basically matches a picture of you taken on your device within ID.me to a government-issued identity document, such as your driver's license or passport. Right, so let's go back to that streamlined agreement for a second. If you owe the IRS less than $50,000 in combined taxes, penalties, and interest, if you can't pay off your balance within 120 days, but you think you can within the earlier of 6 years or the collection statute expiration date on the debt, and you're willing to pay the IRS your full balance over that time period, you can just set up one of these streamlined installment agreements yourself online. Now, the IRS can very well reject these installment agreements, but as a matter of practice, as long as you meet the parameters and you're willing to pay off your debt within the appropriate time period, they generally accept these. And as a matter of fact, if you owe less than $10,000 in only taxes to the IRS, doesn't include penalties and interest for these purposes, less than $10,000 in taxes, the IRS is required to accept your installment agreement proposal if you are in compliance for the past 5 years with both your payments and your tax returns, and you agree to pay off your debt by the earlier of 3 years or the collection statute expiration date on your debt. This is called a guaranteed installment agreement. Also, to qualify for the guaranteed agreement, you can't have entered into an installment agreement with the IRS during any of the preceding 5 tax years. And if you can't set up a payment plan online because you don't fit into these parameters I'm talking about, you can get an installment agreement another way by using Form 9465. I'm not going to do a walkthrough of this form here. I will likely be doing one of those in the future. Now, one thing to know, if you owe more than $50,000 to the IRS in total taxes, penalties, and interest, you will be required to submit Form 433F. Or the information thereon if you're doing it over the phone, along with your installment agreement request. This is right in the Form 9465 instructions, which say if the amount you owe on line 9 is greater than $50,000, you must complete Form 433F collection information statement and file it with this form. If you've seen my other tax relief videos, you know that Form 433F, just like Form 433A and other 433 forms, are collection information statements, which are basically forms on which you present to the IRS a picture of your personal and financial situation in terms of income, expenses, assets, and liabilities. And these collection information statements form the basis for many of the IRS's decisions regarding how to treat a taxpayer who owes them money. In my offer and compromise formula video, which you can check out, link at the top of the screen and in the description below, I've gone over some of the financial analysis principles that the IRS's taxpayers must use when completing these forms. Now, if you want to pay off your balance to the IRS in full, and you can set up one of these payment plans online, that's great. Thank you for paying the IRS every penny you owe them, but that's not really tax relief, is it? That's just paying your taxes, albeit over an extended period of time, while penalties and interest continue to accrue. What I want to talk about now is partial payment installment agreements, which are a form of tax relief and not merely tax payment. And this is where tax relief comes in when it comes to installment agreements. Partial payment installment agreements are covered in Part 5, Chapter 14, Section 2 of the Internal Revenue Manual as an installment agreement when the financial analysis indicates the taxpayer will be unable to satisfy the tax liability within the collection statute expiration date. So what does this mean? What does this definition of partial payment installment agreements mean? Let's break it down to components. First of all, a partial payment installment agreement is an installment agreement. You are required to pay the IRS every month a certain amount of money or you will default on your agreement with them. This is the same as any other installment agreement in this respect. Next, under a partial payment installment agreement, the taxpayer will not be required to satisfy their entire tax liability by the collection statute expiration date, which I've explained is the last date of the IRS's statute of limitations on collections for a particular assessed tax. This is why these are called partial payment installment agreements, because they result in you only paying a partial amount of what you owe the IRS. That sounds great, right? Who wouldn't want to do that? And it is great, right? This is a form of tax relief by which a portion of a taxpayer's tax debt gets wiped away forever. However, in order to qualify for a partial payment installment agreement, the financial analysis, which in the case of installment agreements is driven by Form 433F, that financial analysis must indicate the taxpayer is in fact unable to pay their entire tax liability by the collection statute expiration date. And this is where the art and science of completing IRS collection information statements by the IRS's own rules is so essential, okay? And that, to your viewers, is where I'm leaving you today. But stay tuned for next week, because next week I'm going to publish a video that will be a deep dive on partial payment installment agreements. I'm going to go through basically all the IRS guidance in the Internal Revenue Manual on partial payment installment agreements so you can know if such an agreement is right for you, and if so, how you can obtain one. When that video publishes, you will be able to access it from my channel, my Logan Alec channel. I'll also be placing it right over here. If you're watching this video after that one publishes, I also have my video on tax relief basics right down here, how tax relief actually works. You can check out that video right down here. And if you owe $10,000 or more in taxes, back taxes, give us a call, 866-8000-TAXES, to book your free consultation. I will see you in the next video. Bye-bye.